Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. And if you're watching with us from the beginning, who's that handsome man over there on the other side of the world? Good morning, Daniel. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I had to think twice. Did he just say
yeah,
handsome?
Who's it? You looked around. Who is that? Are you talking to somebody else here? Hey, man, it's good to see you. What time is it over in Australia right now?
It's midnight.
Exactly midnight. Okay. So, Daniel, we have an hour to be on the broadcast today. I wanted to ask you, first of all, how is your Zoom Bible study going?
It's going great. I'm really encouraged by it. In fact, it's interesting how it all came about. One second. That's better. It came about through a lady who encouraged me to become part of a network. Christian leadership network called the Issachar Network, and so that was kind of like the catalyst for me to say, well, hey, you know, I can do some kind of an online meeting, and so I went ahead and did it, thinking that it would become part of the Issachar Network, but it turns out that the Issachar Network is a totally different DNA, it's a different thing, so I'm still going to be doing that, but it was the thing that I needed to kickstart the online Bible study, which I have had in my heart for a while to do. And so it's encouraging. Now that it's now happening, it's starting to get more momentum. So
beautiful.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Good. So that is a weekly, is that correct? Or daily?
Yes.
It's a weekly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So for us Aussies, it's actually it's Friday morning. But for Americans, it's actually, for those in Arkansas, it's 7 in the evening on a Thursday evening. So it's 7 o'clock PM Thursday evening. That's CDT, Central Daylight Time. And for those who are on the East Coast, that's actually 8 PM.
Right.
EDT, okay. Eastern Daylight Time.
Okay.
So, yeah. So if anyone wants to join in that Bible study, you're free. You're more than welcome to be part of it. Send me a message, email me, or send me a message on Facebook, and I'll sent you out a Zoom invitation in which you can become part of it.
Well, that's awesome. And so, and now how do people find you? Is it just they have to contact you, or do they need to just look on Zoom? What is there a contact information?
Best to get in contact with me. You can do that via me on Facebook. I'm easy to find on Facebook.
Okay.
Or just via my website, Israel Islam and End Times. There's a contact us page on there, which you can get a hold of me through, or danielsecum.com. If those who reach out to me and are keen to become part of that before the meeting starts, or maybe half an hour before the meeting actual starts, I'll send out an invitation that has a link that they can click on in which they can become part of the study.
Okay, excellent. So that's very important. Thursday, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock in California, 6 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 o'clock in the East Coast. Every Thursday, Daniel Secum is leading a Zoom Bible study, and I'm sure you're talking about up-to-date topics that are happening as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. And so far, it's been good. We've had about four different countries, people representing four different countries.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And five different time zones, so it's great.
I love that. And very good. Now, you've been praying about your trip out to the United States for
Thinking
the Feast of Tabernacles.
It. Yes, been praying about that because it's the circumstances have changed somewhat since last year.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Just praying through that. I really would love to come. My heart would say a definite yes, but
God's will be done.
Amen.
Amen. It's all about being in the right place at the right time. You're doing the right thing with the right people right now. There's no doubt about that. All right, Daniel, we have some crazy stuff going on in our world today. The Church of Satan, this is a CBN News report. The Church of Satan is giving a $500 scholarship to high school students that will best express their values for the Church of Satan by answering three questions. If they do it in a manner that is appealing to the Satanic Church, which is based in Massachusetts, they will get a $500 scholarship. And the outspoken members of the Church of Satan have been making their war against Donald Trump, Mike Pence, and the Evangelical Christian Church, which tells me, again, we are in a level of spiritual warfare that we need to be aware of and understand the value and the victory we have in the blood of Jesus Christ. What a crazy thing that in our world today that the Church of Satan, literally, is making open war.
Yeah, but doesn't that tell you something really important? The fact that the Church of Satan, listen, not just the Church of Satan, but there's also the Satanic Temple, which is a different entity, and other... there are other Satanist organizations. But what I think is interesting is that they all want Trump out of office. Mm. They want to get rid of Trump. They want to get rid of him. Doesn't that tell you a lot? The
it
fact
does.
That witches and people practicing in the occult, these people are trying to place a hex on Trump, trying to get him out of office. That should tell you everything you need to know. Furthermore, who else wants to get rid of Trump? Well, China wants to get rid of Trump. Iran wants to get rid of Trump, and Russia doesn't like Trump. North Korea doesn't like Trump. So all of America's enemies don't like Trump. And the reason is quite simple. It's because he stands up to them. He is standing up to America's enemies. And that's why, you know, it's funny because a lot of the people who are not really tracking with what's been going on would say, well, China's only becoming belligerent is because of Trump. You know, that's not true at all. China is only becoming belligerent because Trump is finally standing up to China. That is why China all of a sudden is becoming very, very aggressive and belligerent, because China had taken advantage of America for so long. And not only that, they have stolen, American technology, ID theft, and intellectual property, IP theft, sorry, and have stolen so much. Just have a look at look at their military hardware, which is exact copies of American hardware, like the F-35 is an exact copy of the American version. They basically ripped it. They stole it. And since then, the whole fiasco of the Chinese consulate in Houston It was a massive spy ring. It was a huge espionage center. And that was exposed the moment where Trump decided to shut it down. And the moment they were told to shut down, what happened? Well, the consulate workers got out containers and containers full of thousands of documents and started burning them in the courtyard. So it just goes to show Trump is standing up to America's enemies. And this is why they are in a state of, let me put it this way, they are looking very much forward to the prospect of Joe Biden getting into power. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that? I'm actually looking it up right now. I want to play a short video of Joe Biden, and he is speaking about the Muslim ban here. Let me see if I can get this up for us real quick and play this. This is Joe Biden speaking about the Muslims. Here's what he says.
Muslim communities are the first to feel Donald Trump's assault on black and brown communities in this country with his vile Muslim ban. Under this administration, we've seen an unconscionable rise in Islamic phobia. The incidents including kids being bullied in school and hate crimes in our communities. He's named people with a history of open Islamic phobia, open, straightforward, who have no business serving in high positions in our government. What message does this send to the rest of the world? We have led the world not just by the example of our power, but the power of our example. And he's making a mockery of what we stand for. We can do something about it. And I'm here today to ask you to join me in a fight to rip this poison from our government root and stem. That will include having Muslim American voices as part of my administration. If I have the honor of being president, I will end the Muslim ban on day one.
Daniel, is that safe or is that not safe?
Man, that is unbelievably dangerous and irresponsible. I mean, this guy is clueless in regard to the true nature of Islam. This guy, Joe Biden, and this is why I think why the radical Marxists like Joe Biden, is because he is a Trojan horse. And he is easily manipulated. In fact, the Marxist Angela Davis, who is a Marxist activist, and she has been for the past, 50 years or so, or 40 years or so, Angela Davis came out and said that Joe Biden would be the ideal candidate because he would be easily pressured, easily pressured. That's what she said. And she is probably one of the most radical Marxists that there is. And so I think it's really interesting. Joe Biden is dangerous. Not only did he say that about Islam, he said about China, he says, they're not bad guys. In other words, he doesn't see any imminent danger associated with China at all. Part of the reason is because his son made billions from a Chinese company. So he completely disregards the dire threat coming from China. See, thank God that Donald Trump is standing up. He's standing up to China. And not only that, he is reinvigorating the U.S. military. He is pouring funds into the military and basically revamping it and getting it back to a level of competence that what hasn't been seen since Obama came in. The moment Obama came in, he basically scaled back the U.S. military. In fact, there are entire fleets of different aircraft or fleets of different military equipment that were basically mothballed. They were mothballed. Look into the sequester. It's called the sequester. And he basically scaled back military programs. He cut funds from different military programs. And more than that, he persecuted Christians within the military as well. It's what Obama did was absolutely shameful, absolutely shameful. And thank God that Trump is reinvigorating the U.S. military, is basically directing funds into military research that needs to happen, which includes the studying of hypersonic weapons. The fact that Russia and China have a leg up on that is absolutely scandalous. And this is all because Obama sat on his hands. He did nothing. He the military came up with all these things that needed to get done, and Obama, he couldn't care less. In fact, that is the thing, and that's one of the major differences between Obama and Trump. Trump is a man who loves his country and understands the concept of peace through strength, you know, and that's something that Reagan fully believed in, that there will be peace in the world when America is strong. And I totally wholeheartedly believe in that. And this is the whole concept of Pax Americana, which is a concept that goes back to Pax Romana, where there was a time of peace while the Roman Empire was strong, while the Roman Empire dominated the ancient world. Back then, there was peace because of the Romans. They fixed the roads. They got rid of the thieves and the bandits off the thoroughfares. And then the baton transferred to the Pax Hispania when the Spaniards dominated the world, and then Pax Britannica. And then in the aftermath of the Second World War, the baton was passed from the British Empire onto the United States. And then there has been peace in the world, and peace has been balanced in the world because of the influence of the United States. Thank God for that. It's funny because people criticize the United States, even calling the United States ridiculous accusations such as being a colonialist power. America is anything but a colonialist power. If you want to look at a colonialist power, have a look at China. China are dominating entire parts of Africa. In fact, so much so that China has even set up its own police departments in African countries. They're making their way into South America. They're completely dominating in Asia. There's no question about that. But China are the number one threat in the world right now. They are absolutely dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. In fact, here in Australia, we're feeling the full brunt of China's belligerence. They are smashing our economy, and they're now even threatening our beef and our wine exports if we continue to be defiant towards China. It's interesting. But you know what, Vincent? I knew China would come for us in the aftermath when Australia voted for gay marriage. On that day when Australia voted for gay marriage, and it was revealed that 66% or something like that voted for gay marriage, I knew that Australia had just written its own death warrant. It's just a matter of time, because Australia is going to pay a very high price. And furthermore than that, we have abhorrent abortion laws, state laws, by the way. Each Australian state have got obscene abortion laws. So there is judgment hanging over my nation. As much as I hate to say that, because I love my country, but God is a just God, and He will judge wickedness. He will judge sin, and this is the bed that we have made, and we will lie in it.
You know, it's real interesting when you talk about your country, Australia. You know, Daniel, I have to be honest with you. I've been doing radio for nearly 20 years, maybe just right around 22 years, and all those years, I never heard a word about Australia until you came on this broadcast. All of a sudden, we started hearing about wildfires. We started hearing about cattle drought. We started hearing, you know, weather patterns that I had never heard. And I don't know if just you being from there opened up that door, but suddenly everywhere Australia was in the news. And it was at a time they were making some really bad decisions. And you were actually speaking about that. Number one, I find that very interesting. And going back to something you just said, Donald Trump yesterday, while he was giving a little talk, mentioned that he is separating the United States from dependency upon China for drugs, for pharmaceuticals, and from every other nation to have our needs and resources in the United States. He's really working as a nationalist to have our resources, everything, dependent right here, inter self-dependent in the United States of America. Do you think that's a good idea?
Fantastic idea.
Right?
Yeah, Scott Morrison, Prime Minister Scott Morrison needs to do the same thing. You know, we can be absolutely self-sufficient if we focused on it. And unfortunately, we've had decades of left-wing think tanks and left-wing policy decisions that prioritize globalism, global trade, that has put us in a very precarious position. And listen, globalism sounds good, providing all the people involved in the trading, providing that all the trading partners have good intentions, okay? But China does not have good intentions. They are extremely dangerous. They are in it for themselves. They are all for globalists and for trade deals, providing they get the upper hand and they usurp power. That is, and that's why globalism falls short. Globalism relies on the idea that man is inherently good, but it's man is not. Man is wicked. Man is corrupt. And where there is power, there will be corruption. And absolute power brings absolute corruption. So, you know, I really hope Scott Morrison focuses on developing more of a self-sustaining outlook for Australia. And look, we are the largest mine in the world. You know, the resources that we have in our own backyard are phenomenal. Even our own food bowl. See, we are self-sufficient in regard to our food. I mean, we have surrounded by ocean in which we have unlimited supply of seafood, unlimited supply of, you know, we could really, we can be fine, but we've been hamstrung because of ridiculous globalist decisions that have put us in a very dangerous position.
You know, the Bible says in, I believe it's Isaiah, that the borrower is the slave to the lender. And
yeah,
so
right.
Whenever we go into debt, whenever we become the borrower, whether it's on a national level or independent, we become a slave to the lender. So we're looking now at a globalization mindset as conflicting with the independent sovereignty of nations. And this is a very, very, this has been the whole battle here. And it is a spiritual battle because the globalist idea lines up with end time Bible prophecy, correct?
It does. And what is the spirit? What is the spirit behind globalism? The spirit behind globalism is to become one. It's for the world to become more and more of a singular conscience, of a singular, this is what the global village, it's the, when we all become one and we all cohabitate and we all, everything becomes like a monoculture. That's what globalism is. And really it is a throwback to the Tower of Babel. They had the same attitude in the Tower of Babel where they believed, let us come together and listen, nothing will be impossible for us. That was their attitude. And God knew that. God knew that they had the attitude where they thought that, you know, nothing would be impossible for us. And what it was at the heart of that? Well, at the heart of that was rebellion. Rebellion against God's decree. What was God's decree? God's decree was to spread out and to populate the earth. To spread out. To spread out. Furthermore, God is the one who instituted the nations. God was the one who came up with nationhood, okay? And that's interesting because we're living in a time where nationalism is demonized massively. You know, if you say that you're a nationalist, there is like this stigma, this negative stigma that is attached to that, like you're some kind of a radical right-wing Nazi, which is absolutely ridiculous. Being a nationalist is someone who looks out for their country and makes decisions based on the betterment for their own, for the nation's own people. So Trump is a national. It's funny, when he came out and said that he's a nationalist, not a globalist, the guy, what's his name? The guy from CNN.
Don Lemon or one of those guys, yeah.
Yeah, one of those guys. It was the Washington correspondent slammed Trump and said, see, you're a white. What did he say? He called him, you're a
white supremacist.
Yeah. White supremacist nationalist. Mm-hmm. He said, no. He said, you're a white nationalist. Basically trying to smear him as being some kind of a radical right-wing lunatic. Listen, God is the one who instituted the nations. And when Jesus comes back and establishes his millennium, his millennial reign, those who overcome in this world, he will give the right to reign with him over the nations. And so the nations are going to be with us forever. And God is the one who instituted them. And globalism hates nationhood. It hates nationalism because it wants to see nationalism and national sovereignty swallowed up into one entity, into one globalist monoculture, which is exactly what was the Tower of Babel. Once again, the attitude was, hey, let's all come together. Let's rebel against God's decree to spread out and populate the earth. And let's all hang out in one city. Let's all hang out in one city and let's get our minds together and let's all become, you know, and let's, hey, you know what? Nothing will be impossible for us. We can do whatever. You know, we could even, and this harkens back to Genesis 3 when Satan said to Eve, when Satan said he doesn't want you to eat the fruit because he knows that you will become like God. And that's the same attitude with the Tower of Babel. They saw themselves, hey, we can become God. Nothing will be impossible for us. We can be the ones that brings mankind to its apex, and we are the ones who can do that. That is the rebellion that God hates and that God will crush when he returns.
So would you say that the globalist view then, I mean, the people like Ilhan Omar, Cortez, Talib, these are Islamic people, and I'm referring to them because Joe Biden is saying he wants to fill his administration with Islamists. And the idea, the question I would have is, well, are you going to have these Islamists come and produce policy that represents the United States of America, the values of our nation, or are they going to be like Omar? Are they going to be like Talib? Are they going to bring their Islamic Sharia ideology? And how will that actually work? And the question again is, the globalist idea is to shut down any form of higher power so that there's no one at the top, but they themselves ultimately come to the top. Is that how it works?
Yeah, globalism, it's essentially communism. Globalism and communism are essentially the same thing. It's basically, you know, and it's all about we're all becoming equal where there's no one higher above you and no one beneath you, which is a total lie.
It's a total lie. Yeah.
It's a total lie because what happens is that they destroy the middle class. The middle class, it becomes obliterated. And then so you have this high class of elites, this elites who are have all the power and have all the money. And then you have the lower class, everyone who was equally poor. Sure, that they now have equality, but everyone is equal in poverty. Everyone is equal in misery. And that's why capitalism is the economic system. By the way, capitalism is actually based on the Bible. It's based on the Bible. And it's through capitalism that we serve our fellow man. And in doing so, we are able to provide for our family. We're able to provide for ourselves by serving one another. It's the most basic economic system that there is. In fact, it's so capitalism is so basic. In fact, I think it was Thomas Sowell, who was brilliant, by the way. I absolutely have so much respect for that man. But Thomas Sowell came out and he said that capitalism, he says, isn't really an ism. It's not even an ism because it's the most basic system of transacting between two different people, of transacting services or products between two different people. And so I agree with Thomas Sowell. I think capitalism is absolutely – here's the thing. Capitalism has pulled more people out of poverty than any other economic system. That's what capitalism has done. It has pulled more people – out of poverty, any other economic system. So, and this is why the left hate capitalism. They hate it because they don't have any power over people with a capitalist system. But the moment they introduce equality, you know, you cannot have equality unless the government enforces it. Okay, this is why, you know, in a free capitalist society, people can live out their dream. If they want to be successful, they can discipline themselves and take self-responsibility for their own actions, and they can make a lot of money, okay? But the socialist hates that, okay? They hate it. And so the only way in which socialism can be implemented is if government takes total control. If government takes total control, then government can then force equality. That's why socialism equals slavery. It equals slavery. Sure, you're going to get provided. You're going to have health care. You're going to have, security. You're going to have all these different things that are going to be provided for you. But you're a slave. It's like, and the government sells socialism by offering all this free stuff. And it's appealing. I mean, free stuff is really appealing, especially if you're a young person. To know that your government will give you all this free stuff, why not? Bring it on. I'll have all this free stuff. And then the government will say, okay, well, and they keep giving out all this free stuff, but we need to raise your taxes more. We need to continue to raise your taxes because we are now the parent. We are the one that is now supplying for you. And these people who is taking all this free stuff, they don't even notice that there are bars of iron coming down all around them. And before they know it, they wake up and sure, they've got everything provided for them, but they're a slave, they're imprisoned. And they find themselves exactly as a prison inmate would find themselves. Mm. A prison inmate, everything is provided for him. He has healthcare. Prison inmate has entertainment. A prison inmate has all these things catered for him. He doesn't have to... Dental. He's got it all. He doesn't have to worry. But he's lost his freedom. He doesn't have freedom anymore. So,
maybe to him that is a form of freedom. There's a gentleman listening right now, Daniel, with us. His name is Hector. He's on the chat room right now. He flew for the last 10 years over in China as a commercial pilot. And he just recently came here. He's been in our church way back when in California. And Hector has been warning us, and I just like his idea here. He's totally agreeing with what you're saying. Watch out for China. They are lending money to the whole world so they can dominate and have full control. And that's exactly what you're saying. And he was telling us while he was here about the they're not using cash anymore. The barcodes on their apps that the people are used to, they don't like the idea, but they're in it. And there's a lot of information he has about China's move to be a global power. Meanwhile, the United States of America is pulling out of the power-based idea of being the ruler of the world. That's through Trump's message, is we just want to be a sovereign, independent nation competing with other nations around the world. But his idea is not we want to control and usurp over the nations of the earth. But China certainly does, and so does Islam. And maybe the globalist in the United States government desired that to be part of that globalization. But Trump has a totally different message: sovereign, independent, clean up our nation, get away from all these globalist ideas and ideals, and let's clean up the mess within our own nation. Now, that's the fight that he's involved in. But I thought you would enjoy this, Daniel. I'm going to play real quick a gentleman that was in Bulgaria, and there's some likenesses between you and he that you'll see in just a moment, a very short clip about what he says this whole communist socialist agenda is. And so here we go. This is a gentleman. This is a CBN News report that came out, a 4-minute clip. And here it is. Here it is. And here we go. Let me play him right here.
Georgian Banoff leads worship across the world. Not only does he love rocking out for God, he's also a classical violinist. While Georgian rejoices in his freedom as a Christian, he still mourns over those who suffered for decades in his childhood home of Bulgaria, trapped behind the Iron Curtain.
They immediately went after every capitalist because, according to Karl Marx, capitalism is the main evil that made them dig the ditch. They throw them in the ditch. They put fire on them, I mean oil, and burn them.
We stand here at the Victims of Communism Memorial, dedicated to the more than 100 million people killed by the communists. It's important to remember that system and socialism are inextricably linked. After all, the communist USSR was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, a system controlling everything that levels its citizens out by crushing individual incentive.
Everybody makes the same amount of money. So if you're good at certain and work hard, you don't get a dime more than the guy that sits and do nothing. So the productivity goes low and low and low. This is very destructive to successful economy.
Georgian points out how shortages inevitably follow.
There's nothing to buy because everything is so depleted. The only thing you could buy every day is bread.
Georgian remembers being one of the five families packed into a five-room home. And he remembers the constant fear.
Now everybody's poor. And unless you're saying things that are in line 100% with the communist propaganda and doctrine, you get pulled out and eventually you disappear.
And in the schools, your life, profession, and even your beliefs are all dictated to you.
You are directly controlled by a supervisor who is over the teachers. So making sure everything you say supports the communists.
Georgian points out it's not just about economics, but snuffing out God. He explains Karl Marx, the man behind socialism and communism, despised God and wrote these words.
God, I hate you and I'll hurt you by destroying the people you create for your glory. So the whole system is actually an antichrist system. They became the God. Praise us. Glorify the communists. So it was religion.
Georgian saw how Bulgaria clamped down on...
All right, so I'm going to stop it right there just because that was the point that I wanted to make, that he equated communism, socialism as an anti-Christ system. He goes a little bit deeper and he shows himself in a little rock and roll band way back when. And I thought you might like that because you used to be in a little tiny rock and roll band, right?
That's correct. I forgot I told you that.
Yeah, you did. So, but isn't that true? I mean, here's a guy that comes out of it. And now he's warning people that he sees all of this going on everywhere round and about us.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Leftists are deceived, and they deceive others while being deceived themselves. They deceive others while being deceived themselves. It's all about deception. And the thing is that what they think is good... What they think is good in their activism for bringing about this, the left's agenda, there's always someone behind them that is more sinister. Okay. And this is why many of the people who fight for the left, once the left fully gets into power and their true evil is revealed, they're like, no, that's not what I signed up for. Okay. So they don't realize that there is that there are people far more evil who are basically waiting in the shadows. So the moment these leftists, in fact, Lenin called them useful idiots. That's not to demean these people, but Lenin called these people useful idiots. He called them that because these are people who will gleefully do what he's carry out his agenda without understanding what his full agenda really is. And in fact, we have many of these people who are doing that, doing just that, who are going out doing the left's bidding. And yet once they do it, once they tear down these crucial civilizational institutions, they will think to themselves, oh, my goodness, what have I done? You know, and once they usher in this evil, once they help bring about this revolution that will make the French Revolution look like a picnic, they will think to themselves, my gosh, this is not what I had hoped for. This is not what I had signed up for. And people need to understand, behind every devil is a bigger devil. Behind every communist, leftist, Marxist devil, there is a more ruthless, evil devil behind. And communism will snowball, and it will eventually, its true face will be shown for what it is. And on the surface, that it looks like an admirable concept where everyone is equal and everyone's provided for. you know, but at the end of the day, the thing that they discount is the true nature of man, because leftists believe that man is inherently good. So if you select a man and give him unlimited power, provided he has the same values that you have, then everything will be great. Everything will be good. You know, if men would essentially give up all their weapons, give up all their guns, there'll be no more violence. There'll be no more violence or conflict. No more conflict. But that is so ill informed. It is so naive to believe that man is not inherently good. The Bible tells us that man is inherently wicked. Man is inherently bad. That man, if he is left to his own devices, will carry out the most depraved things that you could ever possibly imagine. And see, the founding fathers understood the depraved nature of man, and that's why they wrote the Constitution with all the checks and balances to prevent the power resting into the hands of fewer people. See, the way that your Constitution was designed was that power was equally balanced, and that the power was held, people were held accountable. Whereas leftists have no problem in seeing unlimited power balanced into the hands of fewer and fewer people. And this is why, see, thank God for the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis tells us, when we read the story of the flood, we read what happened when man is left to his own devices. Man becomes corrupted every single time. The moment you take God out of the equation, man becomes corrupted, especially if they are. And this is what's happening, because the United States of America has given unprecedented wealth and unprecedented freedom. Freedom plus wealth. Now, if you take God out of that equation, it leads to boredom, and that boredom leads to a man just becomes completely unhinged and depraved in his desire to sin. In fact, he sees his desire to sin as his idea of freedom, but it's not. This idea of freedom will inevitably lead to slavery, and it happens every single time. Jesus said, "He who sins is a slave to sin." And that's the case individually, and that's the case nationally. The nation that sins will become a slave to sin. Mm. Now, Richard Wurmbrand said, Richard Wurmbrand said that communism is collective demon possession. That's what he said. He said communism is collective demon possession. It's when the demonic powers take complete control over a nation, which is a scary, scary thing to behold. And we witnessed what happened with the Soviet Union, with communist China. Tens of millions of people were killed. In fact, more people were killed in the 20th century alone than all other previous centuries combined. Just think about that.
And Daniel, we have to say, I mean, I'm nowhere near as intelligent as you are on this issue with Karl Marx and communism, but I was always under the impression that communism was about an ideology, a philosophy, there is no God. But then I just heard that Karl Marx said he hated God. So how can you hate something that doesn't exist? And so, and just one other thought about in Islam, Allah has no son. So Islam has a God, but that God has no son, and they hate the God that has the son. Communism has no God, but they deceive themselves. I mean, that's very hypocritical because they hate God. So you have these two major forces of Islam and communism coming together, and that does seem to describe the biblical book of Revelation end time world government to be a system that is basically a combination of both Islam and communism. Are we close?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Karl Marx said communism begins where atheism begins. He also said, my object in life is to dethrone God and to destroy capitalism. Think about that. He says, my object in life is to dethrone God. Karl Marx also says the idea of God is the keynote of a perverted civilization. It must be destroyed, he says. He says the abolition of religion as the illusory happiness of man is a requisite for their real happiness. The call to abandon their illusions about their conditions is a call to abandon a condition which requires illusions. The criticism of religion is, therefore, the criticism of this veil of tears in which religion is the halo. Karl Marx also says, religion is the impotence of the human mind to deal with occurrences it cannot understand. He also says, religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world and the soul of a soulless condition. It is the opium of the people. And it just gives you an insight. By the way, in a letter to his father, Karl Marx wrote that new gods will have to be installed. He says, the curtain had fallen, my holy of holies was rent asunder, and new gods had to be installed to his father. But it's more worse than that. In fact, it's really quite sad when you look at some of the things that he wrote about himself. He says this. He says, thus heaven I've forfeited, I know it full well. My soul, once true to God, is chosen for hell.
Wow. Once true to God. My goodness.
Yeah.
So this is not an idea of there is no God, we're pure atheists. This is about people that know there's a God and hate him, and that shows up in Scripture all the time.
That's right. Karl Marx was not an atheist. He knew that God existed, but he hated him. And he wanted to take as many people away from God as he possibly could. That really tells you something about Marx.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, in these remaining moments that we have on the broadcast, this is all behind the scenes, spiritual warfare. And we all know what the Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll just read it. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the church is to engage in this spiritual battle that is not flesh and blood. And so with all these isms out there and philosophies and ideologies and all these governmental structures, the kingdom of God is in stark contrast to all of them. And you and I and all believers around the world carry the cargo of the kingdom of God within us in Christ. So how do God's people, the ecclesia, the church globally, stand in battle and war against what this movement obviously is accelerating all over the world? And it seems like the church is weakened to it. There doesn't seem to be any resistance to it. And the little resistance is coming through politics, basically, and somewhat of a praying church. You know, maybe it's waking up. Tell us about this spiritual battle here.
Look, it's a massive spiritual battle, and the vast majority of it is to do with deception and ignorance, you know, and apathy. I often like to joke and say that, I was talking to someone the other day, and I asked them what was the biggest problem. Was it ignorance or apathy? And they said, I don't know and I don't care.
Exactly.
But listen, that it's probably one of the major problems that is facing the church at the moment, is that there is ignorance and there is massive apathy. Listen, the church is called to be salt and light. And we understand, unfortunately, we have thought that for the church to be salt, it's like, hey, let's be flavorsome. Let's give the world a flavor, you know, and let's be tasty. That's not what Jesus is talking about. The salt in which Jesus is talking about is saying we need to be preservants. And in other words, we need to prevent society from falling into decay. We also are called to be light. Now, what does light do? Now, light's great because it shines on the path before you so you can see where you're going. But light also exposes that which is in darkness. So light exposes that which is in darkness, and salt prevents things from falling into decay. Now, the church has unfortunately reneged on both of those counts. Let's look at light. Light exposes that which is in darkness. Now, the church has a moral responsibility to expose the reality of communism to the world. Okay, and listen, this should be an easy thing to do because we have history to point at. We can say, look at what Stalin did. Okay, look at the millions of people.
Uh-oh, where'd you go, Daniel? Hold on. Okay, Daniel went bye-bye for just a moment. I don't know if the whole thing did. Let's find out. All right, Daniel, I'm not sure what happened there. Let's go ahead and get a kick from, ban from, edit. No, we don't want to do any of that. So just we'll wait for him to call back in. All right, so he was just, there he is. Hold on, is that there? Add stream. Not there. Okay, so Daniel's going to have to call back in to the studio. Let him continue his thoughts there. He's talking about the values of salt and light. And what I was picking up while Daniel was speaking was that salt, in the preservative that he thought about, and he'll be right back, by the way, the preservative of salt is to preserve the spiritual values of the kingdom of God, to preserve the spiritual values of the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus Christ. So if salt is a preserver, then what are we preserving? Well, you might want to preserve a constitution. You may want to preserve a Bill of Rights. You may want to preserve the values of American society. But really, they are to preserve, we, the church, are to preserve the teachings of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ, the values of the kingdom of God, the love that God has for all creation. That would be our job, is to preserve that word. And so the idea is decay wants to set in. And so the church needs to be more preservative. But if the salt loses its ability to preserve, or its saltiness, what happens? It's good for nothing but to be tread underfoot of men. So we have to be very careful that we maintain our saltiness in preserving Jesus Christ's message and his teachings. And so I'm definitely waiting. I learned that just now as Daniel was talking. Then, of course, the exposure of communism, the exposure of socialism, the exposure of globalism, the exposure of Islam, and all these other isms that are out there, to expose them for what they are. They don't work. What does work is not just capitalism and the republic and democracy. It was all built upon the spiritual value and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we know about the foundations of our nation, is that they were just like that. So I see Daniel making his way back in. Daniel, go ahead. I just picked up a little bit about preservation of salt and light, and you were saying.
Yeah, so I was just, sorry, I don't know what happened there. My internet just froze. Crashed for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, as I was just saying, listen, we can point at history and say, look at all those atrocities, okay? This is what happens if we go down this road. If we go down this road where we are promoting equality over freedom, this is what results, okay? And this is why it's always dangerous when you hear a society that talks more about equality than they do about freedom. The moment that they place more of an emphasis on equality than freedom, then your country is not in a good place at all. And that's why, here's the thing. More people suffer from a deprivation of freedom than do from a deprivation of so-called equality. Let me repeat that. More people in the world suffer from a deprivation of freedom than they do from a deprivation of so-called equality. Okay? Freedom is the thing that people are crying out for. Freedom is the thing that lack of freedom is the thing that people are suffering from. And that's why the United States is the nation which more people flee to than any other nation, because the United States is that beacon of freedom. People come to America because they want to be free. They want to live the American dream, okay? They couldn't give a rip about equality, okay? What's more important than equality is freedom. Freedom is the cry of the soul of every human being. Everyone wants freedom. And incidentally, freedom is what Christ offers to every single person who will come to him. And that is also not just for the individual, but also for the nation. If a nation lives by the principles of Christ, and by the way, that's what your Constitution, your Bill of Rights, your Declaration of Independence, your founding documents are saturated in Christian biblical principles. And because of that, that's why you have enjoyed one of the most free and prosperous societies that the world has ever seen. But Jesus himself said, when you know the truth will set you free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus also said that, and sorry, Paul said, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. And that is what should be the highest priority of any society, not equality. Okay. And listen, once you place an emphasis on freedom, once you place an emphasis on that, then all the other equalities will come. Okay. But if you put equality before freedom, then you'll lose both. And that's what's important. And by the way, when I'm saying equality, I'm talking about equality of outcome. Equality of opportunity is absolutely important, and because all men are created equal and we should have an equal opportunity in life, but not equality of outcome, which is ensuring that everyone gets equal results. That is evil, because that discourages effort. It discourages merit. And merit is the enemy of equality, and equality is the enemy of merit. And that's why with the moment you introduce equality, you destroy merit. You destroy the motivation that people have to provide for themselves, the motivation to work. You destroy ambition. Once that's gone, then you've got a society that's full of lazy, if I can say that, and people won't work. Why bother? Why work harder than the next guy if we're going to get the same result?
Wow.
See where I'm coming from?
Yeah, you know, it's incredible information that you're imparting right now. And with our last 2 minutes, I just want to get people that are listening right now to know a little bit more about your weekly Bible study from nations all over the world are tuning in. 5 o'clock West Coast time, 6 o'clock Mountain time, 7 o'clock Central Standard time, where we are right now, like in Arkansas, and then the East Coast, 8 o'clock PM every Thursday evening. You could go to Zoom, connect with Daniel Seckham. He's teaching, and what he just imparted was incredibly valuable. I mean, that is really good information. And so you've also inspired some things. Pearls have been dropped all morning this morning, Daniel. So just one more time, give people an understanding how they could contact you, what your Bible study is about. What are you doing out there?
Yeah, look, get a hold of me. Listen, reach out to me via email if you must. My email is really simple. It's just Dan, D-A-N, at Seckham.com. So D-A-N at Seckham.com. Send me an email and I'll send you out an invitation for the Zoom Bible study, which will be happening Thursday evening in the US. Here in Australia, it's actually Friday morning. But yeah, it'll be great to have more people become part of it.
And what will be really awesome is that you'll be bushy-tailed and wide-eyed, because you'll be sleeping like a normal person and get up in the morning and teach your Bible study. And we all here at 7 o'clock will see a different Daniel Seckham. What do you think about that?
You would see a completely different guy.
A different guy.
In fact, you would think he's a completely different person.
We'll say, where's Daniel? Hey, man, I want to thank you so much for everything you imparted here today. You've been such a faithful servant of God. The people love you. They love the message you're carrying. A lot now that people are talking about, you've been talking about for years. So don't stop. Keep doing what you're doing. God bless you. We've got to say goodbye for now. Shalom, my brother. Arrivederci. All right, that's Daniel Seckham is out now, and I'm going to go Omega Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I need your prayers. I'm on my way, perhaps for the final time on KIRM Radio. Sunday, I said goodbye to our listening audience. Today, I'm planning to say goodbye. And yet, I just heard something by the Spirit about preserving the message of the gospel, salt and light. I really need your prayers right now to do the right thing. Because if we go off the air on KIRM Radio, there's no longer any outreach to a lot of people because they don't have computers and cell phones like us. There are people that were listening everywhere to AM/FM radio. But we want to focus on getting out, starting churches across the country. We want to continue on Facebook, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Omega Radio. So pray that we make a wise decision today. I know 99.999% of that is moving in a certain direction. There were little tiny little checks. I need to know what those checks were. And I just heard something about salt and light preserving the message. And I just wonder if we go off the air, will the message be preserved? Only time will tell. Thank you for your prayers. We'll see you tomorrow. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt from Tennessee will be joining me right here on The Watchman. I'm Pastor Vince. Gotta go. God bless you. Right now, roundtable discussion is taking place on omegaradio.org. You don't want to miss it. God bless.